Derek, are you there?
Yes, yes, I was on mute, sorry. Good morning, Greg, how are you?
you were scaring me there. I thought you went back to council and...
Yeah, for more fun. No, yeah, I go out in the community and talk to a lot of people and interact with a lot of people at different events, and you know, sometimes at the council meetings during public comment, it's embarrassing. You create these spaces as a government for citizens to interact and engage with their elected officials, and you know, the best intentions are for it to be a welcome, respectful environment for everyone. Last night at the trailer, we had one of Chief Hitt's kids come out to the meeting, and one of the council sons as well. You know, young kids, and when there's profanity that's being screamed at between the citizens and stuff, it just violates that trust of that space and the decorum of the
right
room that we're trying to keep, so that we can actually engage in talking about some of the problems and challenges that we face and what solutions we should undertake. So I think it gets really unfortunate. We don't always have to agree on everything, but you know, we can agree to disagree. We can be civil on any matter. So.
Yeah, I know you like to let people get their ideas in or get their thoughts in, but if a lot of them aren't put together quite cohesively.
Well, I would say public comment is certainly optional.
Right.
You know, some people feel like they have to get up and say something. Manager of I try to keep decorum as best I can, but certainly, you know, when people are intent on disruption, you know, it's fairly easy to do that. And you know, when you're the clerk's the timekeeper and people get 3 minutes, and you know, I've had people scream at me that, you know, people go over for 3 minutes, and out of fairness, that everyone should be kept to a strict 3 minutes time limit. And then those same people get up, you know, a couple of meetings later and refuse to stop at 3 minutes. So, you know, it's a lot of it is they're familiar faces from anyone that comes to the council meetings. And, you know, I'll take a beating and take my lickings, and that's fine. But what more frustrates me is from time to time at council, we'll have new people come. And I think in that sort of unwelcoming, disrespectful nature, it really discourages people from coming back or from participating in the future.
Yeah, it's not like it's a big crowd. But it's a familiar crowd.
You know, it's a familiar crowd. So it really, I've had people come up to me after saying, you know, I won't come back to this. You know, I give them my card, which has my personal cell phone on it. It just says, you know, if you have a problem or need something, just, you know, give me a call. And I make that cell phone number available to, you know, a much more convenient way than sitting through, you know, 45 minutes of citizen comment to resolve something really quickly. But, you know, despite all that stuff, we did accomplish get a lot of stuff done and tackle a lot of different issues last night at the city council meeting.
Well, talk about put the city clerk, Andrea Murray, on probation. Now, does that mean it's her fault that those props didn't get on the ballot?
Well, we talked about that in the executive session. We talked about that process, kind of what exactly happened, and kind of determined that there was a lot of factors that went into those millages not making it onto the ballot. And I offered a motion coming out of the executive session to kind of start to steer us back into the right direction, get what's been happening with our election issues under control, and allow us to make some determinations at a later date of what we want to do going forward. You know, with the election coming up here, absentee ballots are going out, so we didn't want to do anything to overtly disrupt that process right now, but we did task the city manager to engage in a weekly meeting of all the officials to kind of better streamline and coordinate the big ticket items and actions coming from council and out of the city to work. We did work on a 90-day probation period, so into December after the elections, where we also motion to do performance evaluations in December for the city clerk. So we'll talk more about the performance of the city clerk and what we need to do either structurally or with that person, that position in the future. We also asked for separate reports on kind of this road millage debacle from the city manager, the city clerk, and the city attorney's office, so that we could get everything on paper and kind of start to do an investigation of what actually happened and whether there's other reforms that made it at the next.
What does that mean on probation?
I think it was meant to send a signal to the clerk that you know, we're frustrated, we're not happy. You know, the position is a part-time position, but you know, we expect there not to be any further problems the clerk's office and any further delays or mishaps. And I think a probationary period just means that we're going to, you know, have closer scrutiny and a review of what's happening on the first floor.
So, should that be a full-time position, Derek?
You know, it has been in the past traditionally.
Sure.
We got away from it when we combined the positions of the treasurer and clerk, when we separated them. We've kind of explored this part-time clerk position. You know, I think arguments could be made for a full-time position. I think we just have to probably get through the next a couple of months here through the election, and then you know, we're going to be reviewing the next 90 days, the reports that have come out, the performance, you know, in those 90 days, and start to make some determinations on how city council wants to move forward with mission with individual in that position. And also, and we're going to be interviewing for a new city attorney. So it's a good time. You know, Councilwoman Sullivan, Colleen Sullivan, and I introduced a transparency resolution to shed more light on the salaries of all of the city hall and also the review of the appointed officials. So I think it makes sense to do that work in December, and particularly before our next budget cycle next year. So those are just some of the discussions that we're going to be having over the next couple of months.
You did approve some raises last night, right?
Council approved some raises, passed 6-1. I was the lone dissenter. You know, I certainly understand that people deserve to be paid a good for a good return on the work that they put in. I still have some concerns over some of the things that council has asked for through that actual transparency resolution coming to fruition. We've talked about being more transparent, posting the salaries of those city employees in an intelligible format, and that has yet to happen.
Well,
support those raises and those employees. You know, I want to make sure that the public is able to actually see that information. That hasn't happened yet, and it's something I'll be talking with the city manager about as well. Again,
okay. You also spent. I'm not positive on the figure. I think it was over $400,000 on a new street sweeper and a snowplow. Mm-hmm. Right.
He bought a snowplow, the truck, and the street sweeper. I believe the street sweeper was somewhere in the neighborhood of $265,000. Right. And it's a piece to own, so we're leasing it and eventually going to be taking ownership of it. We've gone through a process of street sweeping that's come from DPW individuals doing it to bring it contracted out. We're starting the work to bring that back in-house, actually. The guys at DPW do a great job. I've gotten a lot of compliments over the past couple of months of them doing the first and second round of street sweeping out there. They're doing a heck of a job, taking a lot of pride and ownership in keeping our city clean. We do have a sweeper and a half, basically, right now, one that works and one that does work, but is constantly getting broken. So we wanted to replace that so that we can do more to actually keep our streets clean. And those guys take extra care to not only use those street sweepers, one of which has a vacuum truck, so it's got a big vacuum tube on the back of it they can use to suck bigger piles. But they get, I've seen them get out of that truck too and break up large piles of debris, shovel if they need to, really clean up the city. So they've been doing a good job. We want our streets clean, and getting that vehicle that, you know, was budgeted in this fiscal year, or is going to be budgeted in this fiscal year, into their hands is going to allow them to do that job even better.
Yeah, those should be out all the time, shouldn't they?
Yeah, well, obviously you can't use them in winter.
Well, right,
you
okay.
We basically do three rounds of street sweeping throughout the year, one in spring, summer, and fall. Mm-hmm. We try to time it, and, you know, it depends based on the weather. They don't really work really well in the rain, but they've been out. They do kind of the bottom half of the city first, move to the top, and then cycle back and forth. So people have no doubt seen them out there. I've seen them, and you can kind of see their tracks on a newly swept street. So they're out there, and I think it's good return for the money invested in, you know, having clean streets, and we're saving money elsewhere. We had a lot of people talk to us about lighting up our city and lights, and last night in the same meeting we forward with a new partnership with consumers to actually replace our overhead street lights with LED lights. Mm-hmm. So they're moving forward with that. I think we did 48 last night. It'll save us, just those 48 bulbs will save us about $150 a month. And we aim to replace all of those bulbs in the city to high efficiency LED lights in the next decade. You know, unless we accelerate that through some action of council, but that'll be great. It'll save the city a lot of energy, you know, save us a lot of money, and improve neighborhood safety by lighting up the streets with, you know, cleaner, brighter lights. So I think it's a great partnership between Consumers Energy and municipalities across the city, and it's obviously part of the commitment that Patty Poppe and Consumers Energy have made to cities like Jackson, and, you know, promoting and cleaner future with our state's energy.
Hey, another issue, Derek, that your fan club is not happy about is the traffic circle going into Austin Blair Park. Is that a done deal, or what do you think about that? There has been some backlash.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we appropriated funds for it. We have federal dollars, almost $1 million of revenue coming in for that project. It's actually going to make the park bigger. If you go down Jackson right now, that the area around that park is at least 4 lanes wide already. What we're proposing to do is actually to narrow it so there's only, you're crossing the street at a place like Jackson into Austin Blair Park. You're only really crossing 1 lane of traffic, and you only have to look one way to see if there's oncoming traffic, right? Mm-hmm. That's the purpose of a traffic circle. You know, traffic is only moving around it one way, so
right.
You only have to cross with 1 lane of traffic instead of two with parked cars that may be pulling out. So that's kind of the safety enhancements to that area. Again, like I said before, these projects are scored to even get that money. They have to meet a certain threshold of safety scores, of design scores, and so forth. So, the projects aren't designed at the whim of, some council members. They're design engineers that are taking those scores into consideration to secure those federal dollars. So the park is actually going to get bigger. I think it's actually going to get safer. I think that change can be hard for a lot of people. I've heard the same things over and over again. With downtown, when we were doing Michigan Avenue and people said that it was a terrible idea, all the businesses were going to shut down. Downtown was dead and wasn't going to come back to life. We made some investments in our infrastructure, $95 million of new private capital coming into the city. Businesses have opened, new brick and mortar is coming down to the city to build up our housing supply. So while I understand that, things are changing and sometimes that change can be difficult, I do think that that is the progress that the city needs to really move forward and continue to attract new people, new businesses, new residential structures to our downtown community. I've seen the negativity before. I think sometimes you just have to, there's certainly for constructive criticism and, for people that do have constructive criticism and have expertise that they want to lend to the city, I encourage them to get on a board or commission or reach out to one of us. But just the unabashed negativity, I think, I've seen that before. That's not what I'm interested in engaging in. And I think we've seen, to the contrary, these projects that have been met with this overwhelming negativity, after the completion, will say, oh, that looks nice, or, oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I think, that traffic circle project is going to be something that, we'll be able to hang our hat on and we'll be able to see it and take advantage of it, and it'll be a lot safer for those using that park there in the future.
Yeah, just two that I had doubts about, Louis Glick and Kibbe Road. They've turned out fantastic.
Yeah, I Kibbe Road was another one that people thought that we were going to ruin the park, and I get that.
That's been tremendous.
Yeah, it keeps traffic flowing around that roundabout. I think it creates a nice grand entryway coming into the city, and the two-way conversion of Glick was a lot of federal dollars, but again, I think necessary to us being able to recruit new businesses and new developments into our city, and we're winning awards for projects like that. So we'll continue to tackle those projects and incorporate people's feedback, just like Kibbe Road. We had a lot of neighborhood meetings on that, and the project actually did change from the original drawings to what we ended the day with feedback from the neighborhoods. We did have conversations, the same thing about Louis Glick, and a similar scenario. We'll have further conversations about the two-way conversion project as well, and people can feel free to give us feedback on that. But, you know, I think part of that change is being able to touch it and experience it. It's hard to, like, visualize these projects on paper. I get that some people don't like roundabouts or traffic circles or whatever, and it's hard to visualize some of this, these large construction projects when they're just spoke about or even presented on paper.
Well, I found out last night.
Kind of got to get your car in.
I guess they don't like them in New Jersey.
yeah. So, well, that's New Jersey for you. You know, I get that there's always going to be people that no matter what you do, you'll get people that support you and people that oppose you. And I've just kind of figured that as long as you're kind of listening to the majority of the will of the people, you can't keep everyone happy. You do your best to incorporate everyone's feedback. But at some point, you got to kind of decide to pull the trigger and move forward on these projects, because otherwise that's how cities fail, in my opinion. You know, you got to keep the pressure up, keep moving forward. And if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. You know, cities are just like businesses are competitive with one another. So too are cities. And we have to make ourselves competitive, you know, when we're in a regional market with Battle Creek and Lansing and Ann Arbor. Jackson has to be competitive with those other cities. We got to have high standards, high quality of life, and that means, you know, making Jackson a great place to live, work, and play. And doing that work requires tough decisions, and I think that's what you've seen the council do over the past couple of years, and it's I think it's been paying off. We just got to continue to hammer down and continue to bring that progress further out and into the neighborhood.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies, you just set a mayoral record, 23 minutes. I think we make a podcast out of that.
Sounds great.
September 17th, best show in town.
That's the next show.
Next city
Bring your popcorn.
Hey, thanks, Derek.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.